Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Hope you enjoyed our special good, bad, and crazy picks for Mitt Romney's running mate here in the 2012 campaign, as that was our special edition yesterday. Today, we're back to our normal fare, and if you thought we were going to miss our opportunity to comment rather extensively on the Priorities USA Super PAC ad about Mr. Soptic in Kansas City and Mitt Romney supposedly being somehow responsible for her death from cancer 7 years after he left Bain and 5 years after Bain closed the steel mill, well, we're going to cover that today in pretty good detail. But one of the things we've noticed here, Jim, is that even the mainstream media is not just taking this narrative and running with it. They've actually done some fact-checking, which is refreshing. And here's Wolf Blitzer talking with Bill Burton, former Obama campaign official, former deputy spokesman, now head of Priorities USA, just going toe-to-toe with him yesterday on CNN.
But his wife was diagnosed with cancer 6 years after Mitt Romney effectively left Bain Capital. He effectively left in 99.
Well, he was the CEO until 2000.
Yeah, but in 99, he went to run the Olympic Games in Salt Lake, and he worked full-time.
Most people think that when you're the CEO, you're responsible for the decisions
of that organization.
Most people,
in terms of day-to-day operations, he had no role.
He was the CEO. He was the sole shareholder. He's responsible for the decisions that were made.
So even though so many fact checkers says it's inaccurate, it's not responsible, it's misleading, you're still going to go ahead and play it.
Well, Wolf, just like we just talked about, what this ad does is it tells a story of one guy and the impact that
Romney had on it. But it's misleading to tell.
Well, this is your opinion.
Most independent fact checkers, and we're independent.
What fact in that ad is wrong?
The impression that you get that he killed
her.
You're saying that there's an impression.
Anybody who watches that 60-second ad comes away and says Mitt Romney's responsible, at least indirectly, for this lovely woman's death.
I just don't think that's true. And we would never make that case.
I don't know how you come away with a different impression than that. Bill Burton's always been good at creating new narratives when the facts belie the case, Jim. But kudos, mainly here in our good martini, to Blitzer and other mainstream media outlets for not letting them get away with this.
Bill Burton, please report to Principal Blitzer's office. Bill Burton, please report to Principal Blitzer's office. I just want to point out, Greg, the last guy to get raked over the coals that intensely on the Situation Room, Anthony Weiner. You remember that, but he basically, you know...
Yeah.
He's sensing that there was an odor emitting from the then-congressman's story. Blitzer held up the photo and says, "Is this you?" Poor Anthony Weiner had to kind of make the – well, photos can be altered. I don't know if that's my underwear or not. I mean, just left stammering almost as badly as Burton. Burton's left to say, well, look, just because people come to the conclusion that Mitt Romney killed the guy doesn't mean we set out the ad to say Mitt Romney killed the guy. Super PACs have turned into sort of the evil twins for presidential campaigns. That everything the Obama campaign wants to do but thinks would be too controversial, too ugly, too damaging to whatever, you know, shreds of dignity that they have left, well, that's what Bill Burton's for. He's the shameless one. He's the one who can go out and do things. He is the bearded Spock. He will do things that nobody else in the campaign can do. And that's, you know, and Burton is left to insist, look, you know, all we're trying to say is that people who've worked for companies that were purchased by Bain have died. That's all. That's all. You know, the rather implausible claim. I guess if you work for President Obama, you never die. Is that in the second term, Greg? The plan is to, by executive order, legalize immortality? Is that the second term plan?
Yes, it's the opposite of the Alan Grayson plan. Instead of die quickly, never die.
Never die. So good for Wolf Blitzer. It's kind of interesting how we've seen a lot of negative ads, a lot of, you know, really negative Super PAC ads. But it's kind of interesting to see this one really seemed to break through. And a mainstream media that we often argue is you know, not friendly to the right and biased and all that stuff. Even they do have some standards, and they just kind of think they're just kind of disgusted that this is what the debate has become when unemployment is 8%, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely right. Small change. We're going to shift to our crazy martini now because this is once again the mainstream media. This is even more left than mainstream. This is Mika Brzezinski on Morning Joe on MSNBC. And even Mika's upset with the fact that this inaccuracy has gotten out there. Listen to what she had to say as she's joined by, obviously, Joe Scarborough, Bush's old ad guy, Mark McKinnon, and a couple of other folks on the panel.
And later in the day, Stephanie Cutter, Jay Carney, yeah. All of them don't know the details and just separate themselves from this, like as if separating themselves is just fair enough to say the ad is good.
Well, that's the problem.
No, just say the ad's no good.
And so there's a little bit of a different nuance here, I think, in this case, Jim, because while Mika correctly understands that this ad is bogus, she's more concerned that the Obama campaign is not radically distancing itself from him. She's worried about the effect it'll have on the campaign, not necessarily the facts on the ground, but at least she realizes that this is a bunch of garbage.
Morning Joe has been some kind of interesting viewing the last couple of days. I only caught bits and pieces of it, but basically the entire panel, in which, you know, Michael Steele is the voice of the right, right. And you've got, you know, I'd say a good chunk of establishment Washington is just appalled by this. And so the idea when Mika Brzezinski becomes the enforcer, you know, when she's the one who's, you know, blowing the whistle, throwing the penalty flag and doing all these things, kind of fascinating, because this is not a woman who is naturally inclined to find Obama campaign decisions out of bounds. And you're right, some of this may be driven more by the fear that this is backfiring and hurting a candidate she prefers. But basically, you know, earlier this morning, she was trying to lay out how Cutter had lied. And Scarborough, you could just tell, was enjoying every minute of it and saying, you know, wait, are you saying she lied, Mika? Lied? Wait, no, she didn't tell the truth, you know, so. Anytime we get to put Obama and his defenders and his fans in such a we're seeing discomfort with this ad coming from unbelievably strange places and, you know, kind of crazy, but fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So now that means we have to end on the bad martini. And unfortunately, this is the Romney campaign's reaction to this story. Andrea Saul, a very competent spokesperson. She's been a spokesperson for a number of people up on Capitol Hill. Orrin Hatch, I remember specifically. She is now a spokesperson for the Romney campaign. And she was on Fox News with Bill Hemmer, and he was walking her through the facts of the case. And she's talking about, yes, he was gone. He was running the Olympics. He had nothing to do with the closing of the plant. You certainly can't blame him for this woman getting cancer or dying, certainly 5 years after the fact. And she probably should have stopped there.
Obviously, it's unfortunate when anyone loses their job. This particular case was a plant that was closed years after Governor Romney left the company. And to that point, if people had been in Massachusetts under Governor Romney's health care plan, they would have had health care.
And that sound you hear all over the country is the palms of conservatives hitting their foreheads as a story that was clearly going Romney's way now brings his health care plan back, and her explanation of it in the minds of a lot of people, Jim, gives validation to the president's own health care plan, which is not exactly the narrative you want to bring out of this story.
It was the precise opposite and kind of horrifying. I mean, you just want to grab Andrea Saul and say, you know, you could tell that pause beforehand that kind of she's thinking on her feet. She's looking for another answer. She just needs one more point to kind of close out her comment. And oh, no, don't go there, Andrea Saul. No, come back. No. Don't talk about the individual mandate as a good thing. No. And of course she did. The other thing which was just kind of disturbing is that apparently Romney had made some sort of comment that could be interpreted as Romney Care was not the worst thing I ever did, which was, you know, not what we wanted him to say. We want him to be beating himself up over this, filled with remorse and guilt over this, and that he's driven to repeal Obamacare out of the bad idea of the individual mandate in Massachusetts. Even though you can probably argue that the individual mandate is constitutional in Massachusetts and a federal one would not be, but, you know, John Roberts was iffy that day, so I guess that issue is kind of moot. The bottom line being, hopefully this is a one-off. Hopefully this isn't a sudden radical shift on the part of the Romney campaign to argue that Romney Care is something they want to run on and tout as a reason to vote for him. I'm just going to hope this was a brain fart on the part of Andrea Saul, otherwise a pretty reliable spokeswoman. And hopefully this all blows over in a couple of days. Lots of folks on the right very upset about this, and with good reason. But let's observe that this is, you know, a spokesperson speaking on her feet and not perhaps not a full-blown, you know, conscious decision on the part of the campaign.
Yeah, she'll get a week in the Eric Fernstrom Etch-a-Sketch timeout chair, and then she'll be back a little bit later. The other thing that you got to be a little bit careful of, there are some folks going on Twitter and elsewhere saying, this has cost Romney the election. When he loses, this is going to be the reason why. And you just have to back down, people. We got 90 days to go, or whatever it is, almost 90 days. There's a lot of things Romney will have to answer for, and there's a lot of things Obama's going to have to answer for. I don't think this is going to make the difference necessarily, but the less they tout their healthcare plan in Massachusetts, certainly the better they're going to do with the base and probably most independents as well.
Completely agree, Greg. Just kind of observing, like, I was about to say, nothing that happens in August is going to matter. Considering how Romney might make his vice presidential pick, then maybe some things that happen in August matter. I would say nothing that's happened in the past month or so is really going to matter at all come November.
Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.